It gives that picture of the elders who take the crowns off their heads and cast them at the feet of Christ. And it's as though they're saying, I am no longer king. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My crown is worthless, and your crown is everything. I choose you. I choose you. You're the king of my life. I'm not king anymore. And so I hope that that's your prayer too, is we're willing, because this is it's the sinfulness of man, is we want to be in charge and we want to be boss. We want to be king. It's my life. I can do with it whatever I want to do. And I pray that you've gotten to that point of humility that you will trust in Jesus Christ. We're starting a new series today, and I've come up with this crazy title. It's How to Get Off the Crazy Train. How to Get Off the Crazy Train. You know, so many of us are living such fast-paced lives. And there are so many things in life that we just seem to kind of go along with, aren't there? And we just kind of settle and we say, you know, this is just the way things are. This is just the way things are. So we eat food that we probably shouldn't be eating, and we just go, you know what, this is just the way things are. And we watch programming on TV that we probably shouldn't be watching sometimes, and we just say, you know what, this is just kind of the way things are. This is how people are. And we buy things probably that we don't really need, and we just say, hey, everybody's doing this, and it's just sort of the way things are. And we charge things up on our credit cards, and we say, you know, credit's it's the only way to go. It's the only way that we could possibly survive, and so I swipe it because it's just the way things are. Is that true? Is that true? And some of you are like, yeah, it's kind of true. So this has become our new normal, and I call it the crazy train, because it's jumping on board this thing that's heading to nowhere. And we turn to God's Word, and we try to glean wisdom from God's Word. Melanie and I are about to make a big, bold move in our personal lives. As of yesterday, actually, we put a for sale sign in our yard. We're going to buy another lot in our neighborhood, and we're going to move into an RV. What do y'all think about that? It's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? Now, it's taken a little while to get Melanie on board with this, and she's not here today, so I can finally talk about it with all of you, but we're going to build a barn dominium, you know, we're just going to do some things that are a little outside of the normal, and it's because we're trying to get off the crazy train, and it's something that's been on my mind and been on my heart, and my prayer has been, God, give me wisdom. There's so many things coming at me, so much information coming at me. Lord, give me wisdom in this maddening system that we live in. Well, the problem is, these days, we're not putting a lot of thought in the things that we do and the future repercussions of the things that lay ahead for us. And if we're not wise and we're not careful, and we're not prayerful, we'll just get on that crazy train and we'll just do the things that everyone else is doing, which are not good things. And so today I'm praying to be able to open the Word and gain wisdom. There was a time when Jesus was sending out his 12 disciples, and he says to them this, and this is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, the serpent was described in the Bible as being crafty and subtle and keen and savvy. And the dove in the Bible is described as being gentle and innocent. It's a symbol of peace. And so what he's saying there is he's saying, you got to know when to be shrewd and to be keen, and you got to know when to be gentle. And the only way for us to really know that is to have some deeper insight and deeper discernment. If we don't have discernment, if we don't have wisdom from God, we will be like puppets on a string. And we see this every day in our world. Listen, there is a God who has created everything. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. Until you understand that, your life will never make sense, and you will be on the crazy train, right? So I mentioned last week a Time magazine article that says that we live in the age of FOMO, and I'm going to share a little bit about that again, but we live in the age of FOMO. FOMO means the fear of missing out, the fear of missing out. In a recent study, 3 out of 4 young adults, this is sort of the millennial generation, 3 out of 4 of the millennial generation adults say they suffer from FOMO, the fear of missing out. And this angst leads them to check social media again and again and again, and they don't feel, so that they don't feel out of the loop. So they know that they're doing okay, so that they don't feel left out. And in our attempt, this article says, to keep up with everybody, here's what it says, and I quote, we have overbooked our calendars, we have overspent our bank accounts, we have overdrawn our credit, overloaded our emotions, overworked our bodies, overcrowded our days, and overvalued the approval of others. And as a result, people are overstressed, over anxious, and overwhelmed. Don't you just want to unplug sometimes from it all? Maybe live in like an Amish community up in the mountains somewhere, I don't know. Anybody talk to their spouse about that? So I'm curious, how many of you have turned to your spouse and said, we just need to unplug from it all and move to the mountains? Nobody in here? A few back there in the back? All right. Well, this sort of reminds me, see, when everything moves at such rapid pace, it's so easy to just kind of go along, to sort of shut our minds off and sort of go along with it all. And listen, that's not okay. That's not okay. It kind of reminds me of this Star Trek episode. If you watched Star Trek before, there was this enemy, the Borg. And the Borg was consuming everything. And here was the Starship Enterprise, and it was next, but it was an all-consuming enemy, and it never lost. And its motto was this, resistance is futile. And I'll tell you, without Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, resistance is futile. Without Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, resistance is futile. So when we stay rushed all the time, we make foolish decisions. And if we just keep going along with this, pretty soon we find ourselves on the crazy train to nowhere. And my desire is to live out the truth of God's word. It's to celebrate the life that he has given to me and to this congregation. It is a joy to live in his presence. It is a joy to receive truth from his word. And look, this church is all about both grace and truth. Full of grace, full of truth. Jesus, John chapter 1, he's full of grace and full of truth. The grace to walk with you, but also the clarity and the honesty to speak truth into your life, speak the truth of God's word into your life. And that's what we desire, and that's what we aim for here at Bear Creek. There is so much to filter through and to weed out in our world. But as we continue to grow in Christ, we simultaneously will grow in our wisdom, in our discernment, in our insight and understanding of what's really happening, what's going on behind the things that we see. And we learn the skill of living wisely as we draw closer to Him, as we seek His face, as we make Him the priority of our lives. We start to develop the skill of living wisely and how to discern what is the wise thing to do. And you know, that's what it's all about. Listen, that's what this is about. It's about not just saying, you know, is this the right thing to do? Because sometimes it's, or is this the wrong thing to do? Because sometimes it gets gray, right? When we know something is right, we can identify that is right. And when we know something is wrong, we can identify that is wrong. But sometimes there's those gray areas. And we have to ask ourselves, in light of my past experiences, in light of the future hopes and dreams that God has for my life, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? And I feel like we get this as we make our way through the book of Proverbs. See, the Bible says Jesus is wisdom itself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, and lasting in the eyes of God. It's the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, and lasting in the eyes of God. And really, if you want to know how God views things, we must turn to His Word, right? We must understand His Word and what He has given to us as a manual, as a book of instruction, as a book of life, as a book to get to know Him. So the Bible teaches that wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's sort of like this. And this is just a real simple way of understanding it. It's sort of like you're driving down the road. Knowledge tells you that there's a red light, right? Well, wisdom says, put on your brakes, right? Wisdom gives you that practical application. But it's so much more than that because it gives you not only the skill to live wisely, but the discernment to live wisely. So let's turn now. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1. If you'll turn with me, Proverbs chapter 1. You're going to see it here on the screen. First of all, what is a proverb? A proverb, it's a simple moral statements or illustrations that highlight and teach fundamental realities about life. There's these simple statements, and people groups from all over the world have proverbs. The Chinese have proverbs, right? We learn that at Chinese restaurants. We crack open the fortune cookie, there's the proverb, right? Joking. But people groups all over the world have proverbs that are passed down from generation to generation. These are simple moral statements and illustrations that highlight and teach fundamental realities about life. And so when you think about the book of Proverbs, here's what I want you to think. I want you to remember that the genre of Proverbs is poetry and wisdom. It's a wisdom book. It's a book of wisdom. So if we look at books like the first five books of the Bible are books of the law, okay? Or some of the books after that are narratives. There's other books, like the book of Acts is a book of church history, so it's a book of history. Or the epistles that Paul has written, those are letters, those are epistles. So the genre of this is wisdom, to gain wisdom from God. That's what Proverbs is. And they're very practical. They teach us the art of living. For example, the book of Job is a wisdom book as well. It's the same genre. And Job is a wisdom book on what to do when life goes bad, right? So we read the book of Job and we read about his life and we learn how to struggle and work our way through suffering. So we glean wisdom in how to deal with suffering. Well, the book of Proverbs is a wisdom book on everyday life. Everyday life. God has blessed us with this book. And Proverbs tells us that there's a created order put into the fabric of our world by its creator. There's an order to things. There's an order to living, and that's why, in general, hard work tends to lead to good outcomes, and that's why laziness tends to lead to bad outcomes. Go figure, right? This is wisdom. This is some of the wisdom that you'll receive from the book of Proverbs. So let's start. Chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. It says this. We're going to read to chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in Proverbs 1:1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So the title of this book, and actually the title of this book in the Hebrew Bible, it's called the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, Solomon wasn't the only one that wrote this. There were several other writers. He's the one that wrote most of it. Those other writers were most likely influenced by Solomon. And so we see that there's other authors, there's other writers. But the Hebrews call this the Proverbs of Solomon. So the word Proverbs in the Hebrew is Mishael, and it means to lift up. And some of you need some lifting up today. Some of you have been struggling to make sense of life, have been struggling for answers from God. And we turn today to the book of Proverbs to give you some insight and to give you some encouragement today. And so he says, that this is by Solomon. Solomon came to the throne as king after his father David passed away. You remember David and Goliath. After his father David had passed away, he took the throne and he came with great promise and privilege, and he came with great opportunity. And in 1 Kings 3:9-12, God asks Solomon, ask anything you want. And Solomon asked for a deeper understanding, and so God gave him wisdom. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, his wisdom exceeded all others. His wisdom exceeded all others. Apart from Christ, he was the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon intends to teach us how to live wisely, so we can get off the crazy train. So I want to show you on the screen, you're going to see this, but to get off the crazy train, we must seek to, number one, look at verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. Look, the foundation has to be laid, okay? And much of this message today are for those who have made a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, all right? So if you've made a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will glean wisdom from what Solomon has to say here. To get off the crazy train, we must seek to know wisdom and instruction. So I want to encourage you to pursue wisdom and pursue instruction. To the Hebrew, wisdom wasn't just knowledge alone. It was two things. It was skill and discernment. Skill given by God. Discernment given by God. And when I say discernment, I'm not talking about seeing things as they appear, but seeing around things, seeing things in the light of Scripture, in the light of who God is, seeing things in the proper way. So it's the skill of living a godly life. And Solomon starts this off, and he says that we must know wisdom and instruction. And listen, when you are interested in knowing Jesus, you're interested in knowing wisdom and instruction. When you have a relationship with him, he develops inside of you. And through the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you, he draws you to wisdom and instruction. Wisdom and instruction. So he goes on. He says, to know wisdom and instruction. Look at number two here. Still in verse 2, to understand words of insight. Today we are long on information and we're short on insight, aren't we? We are a mile long and an inch deep. And God intends through the power of his word to teach us the deeper things, the more important things of life. We have waited in the shallows for much too long. And he wants to take us into the wonders of the deep, into the depth of who he is, providing us with wisdom and insight and understanding of who he is and what his word is. And the only way to have that is to receive guidance from him, guidance from the Holy Spirit. And have you noticed that during this period in our lives, we're in information overload? We can get I have this thing at my house. I can't even remember the name of it. My wife set it up. But it's this little box, and it's called Alexa. Anybody have one of those? One person. What is that thing called? I mean, what's the little box called? Isn't it Amazon Echo? That's it. Thank you. So you just walk through your house and go, Alexa, what is 527,000 times 4? Boom. Instantly, it answers the question. Or, Alexa, play worship music, plays music like that instantly. We are in information overload. We have so much information, and these things are just coming at us. And we've gotten to this point where we're just letting everyone else do the thinking for us. I'm letting Alexa do my math for me. And I'm letting her pick the music for me. I don't even pick my own music anymore. I'm just like, get some music on there. I'm laying on the couch, you know. And I'm in this boat with you. I'm in this boat with you. Then in verse 3, Solomon moves from seeking knowledge and understanding. And look what he says in verse 3, to receiving instruction. To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. It's one thing to know instruction. And it's another thing to receive instruction. Receiving his instruction. Let me ask you, maybe you understand some of the things about the Bible. Maybe you understand some of the stories. Maybe you read your Bible, but are you receiving it? Maybe you're gaining knowledge about the time and the era that Moses lived and when Jesus walked the earth, and you're gaining that information, but are you experiencing transformation? So it's about receiving, and I think of a receiver in football. A receiver is ready, right? If he's going to catch the ball, he has to be ready. Expecting. He's expectant, right? And when he does receive, he brings it in close, right? So you're expectant, you're ready, you're expecting to receive, you receive it, and you hold it close. To receive instruction in wise dealing. We must receive instruction in wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. Righteousness is living right before God, living right in God's eyes. Justice means to deal justly with people and the things of life. We serve a just God. And that's scary, isn't it, that we serve a just God? Because what we deserve is not what we get. He is a just God, but he's also a merciful God. He extends grace and mercy to us. If we just will call on his name, he is faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, the Bible says. He extends grace and mercy to us, but he's also a God of justice. And if you're not willing to turn to him, and you're not willing to make a decision to trust him, you will face that justice one day. He's a God of justice. He's also a God of equity. Equity means being fair and impartial. And so what Solomon is saying here is, these are the things that wisdom will give you. Receive them. Receive them. Look what he says in verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Now he's telling us to not only know and understand and receive, but to give it away. To know that wisdom and that instruction. To understand it. To receive it and own it, right? But to not just harbor it, but to give it away. And to give it out. Give it out to who? It says to the simple. Do you realize that we're all born simple, aren't we? We are born simple, and it's my job to train up my child in the way that they should go, right? In the fear and admonition of the Lord. So it's my job to train up my child. Why? Because they're simple. They have to learn and they have to grow. And then at some point, the prayer is that they'll be willing to receive wisdom, right? Another prayer is that I will have wisdom to give them, right? But y'all have heard of the old fool, right? So age has nothing to do with this. Now, I take that back because the older we get, we should be growing in wisdom, okay? But look, sometimes people stay a fool indefinitely. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that person. A wise person not only knows this wisdom from God and is seeking it, right? And understands it and not only receives it, but they're wise enough to give it away and to bless others and to walk with others. And I like what Rick Rigsby says. He says this. He says, my father only had a third grade education, but he was the wisest man I ever known. And he says, he taught me things like it's better to be an hour early than 1 minute late. And he went through all these little tips that his father would pour into his life and teach him. And listen, that's wisdom. You don't have to have a PhD to be wise. You just have to be intimately close with our Lord because Jesus is wisdom. And the closer you get to him, you will grow simultaneously in wisdom. As you're growing in his word, as you're seeking him, you will grow in wisdom. Look what he says in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. In other words, those who are wise are going to listen, and they're going to learn, and they're going to grow. Look at verse 6. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Solomon was passionate about this. He asked God, above all things, Lord, give me wisdom. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for a lavish palace. He got all those things because he got wisdom, right? Wisdom gave him a full life. God gave him a full life. So listen, a relationship with Jesus Christ leads to the life you've always wanted. It opens the door to wisdom. You get close to him and you grow wise. And look how Solomon closes this out. In verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So do you want to know? And do you want to understand? And do you want to receive? And do you want to give wisdom? Don't despise it. Don't despise instruction from the Lord. And here's it all begins in verse 7. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. the fear of the Lord. And what fear is, it doesn't necessarily mean fright. It means to revere, to respect, to honor, to be in awe of, to exalt God, to keep him above all things. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. We cast the crowns at his feet. We are no longer in charge. He is. He is exalted above all things. And when we keep him in his rightful place, we will lean into wisdom. Amen? When we keep him in his rightful place, we'll get closer and closer. And as we get closer and closer to his glory will burn away the person you used to be. So here's what it's saying. Fear means to revere. It means to exalt. And so it all begins with a healthy reverence and exaltation of God. And would you say, and no matter how old you are in here today, that you have a healthy fear, a healthy reverence for God? Because if you do, you'll begin to watch the way you live, and you'll begin to know and understand, right, and receive his wisdom, and you'll begin to give it away. I told this story before, but it's worth telling again. But when I was younger, I'd go over to my aunt's house. She lived in Maryland, and she had this little chihuahua. I'm not kidding you. This dog was this big, this little chihuahua. And my brother and I were scared to death of this little dog. He would just bark, his little teeth, you know. So we'd be scared to death of this dog. So we knew that if we came in the house, we had to stay away from that end of the house because that's where Poncho. That's where Poncho was, all right? And you don't want to go down to Poncho. You don't want to pass the threshold of the hallway, or you will face the fury of Poncho, the 4-inch tall little dog, right? And so, and I'm trying to give you a picture here. And so, fear draws lines. It is a respect, right? You respect the 18-wheeler, so you don't stand in front of it as it's going down 377 at 90 miles an hour, right? It's a healthy fear, right? That's a healthy fear. A healthy fear of God is to understand that God is holy. He has healthy boundaries. I call them guardrails. And guardrails, they prevent you from falling. He has healthy boundaries. He is holy. He is holy other. He is not like me. I've got to keep him in his exalted place so I can grow to become more like him. I can learn from him. He becomes my teacher. I become his pupil. He disciples me and grows me in the faith. And as I grow to become more like him, I become wiser and wiser, and I get off the crazy train. And when I'm tempted to take that credit card, okay, and I'm saying this from personal experience, and I'm tempted to just start swiping because, hey, it's got an open balance. I can just start swiping away. God's wisdom will begin to stop me and begin to speak truth and insight into what that will mean in my future, okay? And when I'm tempted to scream and yell at my wife because she's doing something that is not making me very happy, right? Wisdom begins to speak. And a gentle response turns away wrath, right? And I begin to reflect and think about the things of God because I'm exalting God. And as I'm thinking about the things of God and I'm exalting him and keeping him in his rightful place, he begins to do this. This is just what happens with Jesus, okay? In Philippians chapter 2, it's called the downward progression of Christ, that this God of glory stepped down into earth, right? And he took the form of a servant, became obedient unto death. And then it says, therefore, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus teaches us something there, that as I stoop and as I serve and as I give and as I come as an obedient servant to God, he begins to exalt and he begins to give me the life that I've always dreamed of. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this powerful truth that we have learned, Lord. But I do pray for every person in this room, there is no greater decision than the decision to trust you as Lord and Savior. So I pray, Father, through the power and the conviction of your word today, that you'll stir hearts in this place and turn that lost person into someone who's saved. And take a person who has been living in darkness and lead them to light. We trust you. We trust the power of your word to go out and not return void. In Jesus' name, amen.